Today is Thursday, the day we read from your email.
And we begin with Robert's interview with NCAA President Miles Brand on the new penalties for colleges and universities with low graduation rates for student-athletes. Susan Gare of Happy Camp, California, objected to a phrase used in the interview, basket-weaving classes. Ms. Gare writes, I just have to wonder how it came to refer to exceedingly easy fluff classes, because where I'm from, basket weaving is actually really difficult. I'm from the Karuk tribe in Northern California, and we have a long history of basket weaving. A weaver spends at least a year gathering her materials before she even weaves a single basket. Learning to make the different kinds of baskets requires even more patience and skill. Whoever it was that coined this peculiar phrase, I'm sure they've never been to any of our basket-weaving classes.
Ken Moran of Dale, Indiana, writes that my labeling of Miles Brand as the man who fired Bob Knight may have implied that the Indiana University basketball program under Knight suffered from low graduation rates. Ken Moran writes that, whatever else one may think of Bobby, his emphasis on education and graduation were hardly suspect. Except for those few who left early for the NBA, the majority graduated, and even many of those who left returned for their degrees. Knight wasn't fired due to his players' miscues, but rather his own.
Thanks for doing that nice piece on tattooing.
This is from D. Angus Vale in Salem, Oregon, on our story about the outlawing of tattoo parlors in South Carolina.
Unfortunately, Mr. Vale continues, I have to call your attention to a point of etiquette. While the term parlor used to be the correct term to refer to a tattooing establishment, these days tattoo artists tend to view that term as a bit pejorative. Instead, establishments that cater to walk-in clientele are usually called street shops. Those that tend to rely more heavily on custom work, done by appointment, prefer the term studio. From the sounds of things, you are talking almost by definition about studios. Well, Mr. Vell, thanks for setting us straight.
Finally, Melissa Block's piece about F. Schuyler Matthews, who transcribed birdsong into musical notation, brought this footnote from listener Gareth Penn in Stinson Beach, California. He writes, composer Lajos Janáček, that's how the Czech embassy told us to say it, who went on hikes in the Moravian countryside with musical staff paper, made musical transcriptions not just of birdsong, but also vocalizations of insects, amphibians, and mammals, as well as the sounds of non-biological nature. His opera, The Cunning Little Vixen, has singing parts for chickens, a jay, a woodpecker, an owl, a mosquito, a frog, a cricket, a grasshopper, and, of course, the title character, a vixen. Mr. Penn continues, to round out his attempts to reproduce in music the sounds of nature, Janáček scored in Kotia Kabanova, that's the Czech embassy again, perhaps the best musical rendition of a rainstorm ever written, and in the last act there is a wordless vocal part for the River Volga. It is probably the only time in the annals of opera that topography has had a singing role.
You can set your vocalizations to words by writing us at atc@npr.org. And remember, tell us where you live and how we ought to sing your name.